Well, if you were here last week, you already got part one of this message, where we're looking at something that is, in my experience and the experience of many others, much more effective than New Year's resolutions. And that is this concept of one word for one person for 1 year. And that we are today really focused on seeking the Lord to say, hey, how would you have me focus this next year? What's one word that will really help me kind of have some parameters on what you desire to do both in me and through me? And this is really an opportunity for us to not just have another year, have another Christmas, have another birthday, but to say, what does it look like for me in 2026 to be the best version of myself? And to take some time to be quiet and listen to what the Lord might speak to my heart about that. By a show of hands, how many of you have children who are boys? Raising boys is different than girls, right? They can be rambunctious. And I was thinking recently, we did a lot of fighting. And when I didn't get the opportunity to live with my dad, but when we spent time at my dad's house, he, as a former Golden Gloves boxer, got the gloves out and paired us up. And I won't say he made us fight. He strongly encouraged it to where it didn't feel like it was an option. You were going to fight. But when we were playing, we would do, and I'm sure your boys and the boys here, the men here, when they were boys, did the same thing. You would slap box. Remember that? And then it's friendly. You're just slapping each other. This is how friends treat each other, right? All the women are like, really? What is going on here? And it's amazing. I was just thinking about this. You know, if you have a choice to be struck by someone, an open hand versus a closed fist, take the option of the open hand. Now, here's the concept with that, and that's this. This is not really an instruction on how to fight, as much as here it's amazing that with the greater focus comes greater impact. And that's what we're talking about with this concept of one word. You know, I read recently a study from Stanford University, a longevity study, and we are expected in this country to quadruple the number of people in the next several years who live to be 100. And I think that, by the way, that'd be a new indoor record for an O'Neill. It's like dogs. Little dogs live longer. Big dogs, not so much. For me, like, I don't know. I should have had an extra, like, giraffe heart or something to pump the blood up. But if you think, like, you retire at 65 and you live to be 100, like 35, that used to be the life expectancy for our whole lives for forever. It really, really becomes important for me to have a focus, to have a purpose, to commune with the Lord, to say, hey, what do you want to accomplish in me and through me this next year? Well, for us, as we look at it, here's the title. I'm sure you've read the email and have been waiting with bated breath for this wonderful sermon that's about to come. And that is this: not just a good word, but a God word. How to discern your one word from above. And this big idea is this: I'm not choosing a word as much as I'm trusting that the Lord will reveal a word to me. And so it is a whole lot easier and faster to just choose a word, I have found. But it's much more impactful and lasts a lot longer when I take the time and allow the Lord to be involved in that. You know, as Barbara read that scripture, you know, wonderful passage from Hebrews 12, as we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And then this focus, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And that's what this is about, to really focus on him. Not just on Sunday mornings, not just when I attend a small group Bible study, but for this to become a lifestyle for me, that when I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking about, I have a heart of gratitude, I thank the Lord for another day, and I'm trying my best to get my marching orders from him. And I've noticed even in groups or events, any gatherings, if I pray this little prayer just before I get out of the car and I go to a group, Lord, would you guide me? Lord, would you expose needs to me? Because I have found in myself, and so I know it's true of other people, I can have a big smile on my face but a frown in my heart. And this happens at other places. It would never happen at Fawn Lake Church. But I've heard that there can actually be arguments in the car on the way to church. Like, yeah, I know, it sounds made up. And you feel that, and right when you hit the parking lot, you come out like, good morning, praise the Lord. How you doing? Walking in victory. How's your wife? She is wonderful. I can't say enough nice things about her. And so we need this congruence. We need this lack of compartmentalization where, again, it becomes a lifestyle. Here's the big idea as we take away. Your one word isn't just a good idea. It's God's direction for your year of growth. And that's what we want. It's not, I don't want to be another year older. I want to be another year wiser. I want to be another year stronger. And you can get older without those things, right? It's not just the passage of time. You know, Paul had a singularity of focus when he wrote in Philippians 3, I focus on one thing, forgetting what is behind and pressing on towards what is ahead. The psalmist in Psalm 27 wrote this, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing I seek the most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfection and meditating in his temple. There is power in focus. And again, here's the process. It's three things, and that is this. One, we want to look in, and we're preparing our heart, and we're asking some really important questions of, like, what do I need? Lord, what do you desire to do in me? Number two, and this is today's focus, we want to look up. We don't just want to look in, but we want to look up. And again, the word discover is a powerful word because it relies on us seeking the Lord's feedback. And so when you look in, you're unplugging. You're getting away from the TV. You're leaving your phone, you're leaving the noise, you're maybe even leaving other people. It's solitude. But for this, it's not unplugging, it's plugging in. Not to those electronic devices, but plugging into the Lord, trusting his Holy Spirit will speak to you. And I'll say this, the most common definition of prayer that I have heard is talking to God. And I would say, absolutely not. There's a huge word that's wrong in there, and that is talking with God. Because if you're ever with someone and they do 100% of the talking, again, wouldn't happen here. It's very draining, isn't it? And even subconsciously, you're going to limit your time around that person. Because it needs to be much more of a dialogue than a monologue. And that's truth for us in prayer, because God has things to share with us. Not just like, again, this is what I've heard. It's rather ubiquitous. And that is, I talk to God in prayer. He speaks to me in the Bible. And I just think, wow, that's quite arrogant to tell God how to speak to you, because he gets to choose how to speak to you, and he will put impressions in your mind. He will lay things on your heart. We've all had this happen to us, and I want to give the Holy Spirit credit for that, where I have just had somebody on my mind and texted them, and they text you back, and they say, how did you know? Why would you reach out to me at this time? I was just really discouraged. And that's how the Lord, he uses ordinary people like us to do extraordinary things, but we have to plug in. And of course, the last one, where it's about looking out and the focus is on living your word. It's not just, I get a word. Well, that's the start, not the finish. And so the rest of 2026, I'm really trusting the Lord to make an impact out of that. And so here we are in this step two of looking up and discovering your word. I, in the past, have just picked a word. And again, I found it much more limiting. And as I've discovered this idea of plugging in and doing my best to really discover what God's purpose is for me, to be more diligent about reading his word, utilizing some of the Christian devotionals. There's daily devotionals. Again, they might be this long. That's not a problem. It doesn't have to be, you know, a book you're reading every day. And honestly, sometimes less is more. And you don't need to maybe even read an entire chapter of the Bible. Sometimes you might read one verse and just really meditate on that verse and read it several times and then start asking questions. God, what are you speaking to me through this verse? And I definitely have had some times of scripture reading where it was much more fruitful to read one verse than an entire chapter, because it's so easy for my mind to wander. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I pledge allegiance to the flag. Hail Mary, full of grace. I mean, I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm just repeating and rambling. But to really dig in and discover. I really have discovered also that times of prayer might be a prayer walk. And for you to just, you might not even be speaking out loud. It might be speaking just in your head to the Lord. But it's not one size fits all. Mileage may vary. What works for you in seeking the Lord and, again, practicing this discipline of quietness in a loud world? There are some sermons, there are some podcasts, there are a lot of things that Christians use for growth. And again, don't feel pressure. Take your time, be still, and receive it. And I really believe the blessing will be that you will have clarity, you'll have power, you'll have focus, passion, and ultimately life change, because God's ultimate will for all of us, a reminder, is that we would be conformed into the image of his son, that we would be more like Jesus. And this is a great opportunity for that. Here's one really encouraging backdrop, and that's this. God has plans for you, and they're good. A popular, probably, verse for understandable reasons, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And that's what the Lord desires to do in us. And so as we look at this, we say, here's how God speaks. He speaks through his word. Here's what Psalm 119 says. Thy word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Now, here's a frustrating thing about a lamp is it just illuminates your next step or two, right? We kind of want a spotlight usually, like, no, where does this end? Before I take a step, Lord, I need to know what these results are going to be. And I think, when I think through that a little bit, I'm glad I don't have a spotlight, because I would probably would never take step one, because there's some wild endings sometimes to chapters of our lives, right? He speaks through other people. Proverbs 15 says, plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. There's a great African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. We're more interested in going far than going fast, and we need each other. This is not an individual sport that we're playing. It's definitely a team sport. We have the promise from John 10 that Jesus says very clearly, he repeats it, my sheep hear my voice. And that's what Christians are. We are his sheep. He is the shepherd. And he says very clearly, we will hear his voice. Now, I've never heard God's voice audibly. I think it'd scare the fire out of me probably if I did. And I think, honestly, I probably shouldn't say this in church, but here I go. Those Christmas stories of like the angel coming and like the skies opening up and they say, fear not. Yeah, right. Easy for you to say. Like, it would scare the fire out of me. But I absolutely believe this scripture that we as his sheep will hear his voice. He does speak to us in a variety of ways. And one of the ways is through his Holy Spirit. In John 14, he is called the advocate. Jesus said, it is good that I am going away. I will give you this helper, this teacher who will lead you into all truth. And we have that wonderful resource. That is the presence of the Lord through his Holy Spirit continually in our lives. Now, as we look, we say, all right, Lord, what's my one word? It might be an action like pursue or encourage or believe, character trait, integrity, gratitude, positive, a discipline, pray, rest, read, finish, balance, margin, or a value or an attribute like kindness, generosity, forgiveness. But again, I have to seek the Lord to determine, Lord, what is it that you desire to do in my life? And here are a couple of questions as we seek the Lord and to pray. And that is this. Number one, Lord, what could be done in me and through me this year? And this is kind of dream. This is aspirational. Like to look back and say, December 31st, the future me, looking back in January, what advice would future me give me today? I promise you that future me would say, don't be distracted with these things. Here are the most important things. And for us to really lean in and say, wow, it's not braggadocious to say God can do great things through me. That's exactly what the Christian life is all about. In fact, when scripture says it's by grace you've been saved, not through good works, or you'd boast about it. And so the weaker I am, as John the Baptist said, you know, for him to be empty, that there was more room for Jesus. And honestly, the more ordinary, the less talented I am, the more people will realize, wow, that really points to God. You know, somebody came up to me a few years ago after a sermon and said, wow, your sermons are really like simple and understandable. And I laughed. I said, as if I'm capable of more. This is what you get. What can be done in me and through me this year? Here's another one. What word feels more like an invitation than a task? Because this is, again, this is opposite of a to-do list. yes, we're going to do things, but to really focus on being. We're not human doings, we're human beings. And again, I just remind us, if you have children, you know your kids don't need to perform to get your love, right? You're just happy for them to be in the same room with you. And as they get older, I'm really happy when they're in the same room with me. My daughter lives in Richmond, and suddenly Fredericksburg is such a small town that she can barely stand to be for a few days because it's so boring. But I think it's more her parents who are boring. A final question. Which word aligns both with my need and his purposes for my life? And you start to narrow that list. Now, I started with a lot of different words. That's me, by the way, a handsome guy with red shoes. And I, you know, have in used different words in the past for my word for the year. This year, I had a list of focus, intention, greater. And as I kind of went through these questions, I settled on invest. And part of the way the Lord has been leading me is like, I'm going to spend time doing something, but what if my attitude was I'm investing that time? Part of when we spend something or we invest versus spend, we expect, what do we expect with investments? We expect a return, right? And when I invest in a person, when I invest in a relationship, when I invest in Fawn Lake Church, I expect a return. And here's the truth. Because I know I'm experiencing a return when you invest in me. And so we can see the fruits of our investment. And just to encourage you, this was not the right word for me in years past. It might not be the right word for you in 2026. This is seasonal. This is a word for me right now. Now, this is about process more than outcome. It's journey over destination. It's becoming over doing. And I would say this. Part of the challenge for us here at Fawn Lake Church is there is a battle sometimes between the spiritual and the pragmatic. And when pragmatism rules, we focus on what works. And just speaking very, very plainly, when we do that, prayer can feel like a waste of time when we could really be doing something more productive. Sitting in church singing songs, why don't you guys go out and feed the hungry for crying out loud? And yet, it's not an either or. And I think, you know, I think it was Leonard Ravenhill who said, prayer doesn't come before the work. Prayer is the work. It is part of us communing with God. And sometimes what works is the opposite of what God chooses. Like, it's a struggle to read the story of Gideon, right? If you're going to war, you need all the troops you can get. And what does the Lord do? He has them whittled down to where, oh, it was worse than David versus Goliath. It was such a mismatch. Because he knew the Lord would get credit versus we would credit this mighty army. And so that's where I believe the Lord would have us go. Again, take your time. There are some handouts. If you weren't here last week or you didn't get one on the way in, they look like this and they're out front with this word list to just kind of help you get started. But here's what I'd like to do. You can remain seated. But I thought for the end of the sermon, we would just pray this prayer out loud together. Father, quiet my heart. Help me to hear your word above the noise. Give me not just a good word, but your word, your direction for my growth. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we pray that you would do that. that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, even those of us who've not really practiced the discipline of stillness, God, would you help us to lean into that? Even when it feels maybe wasted and unproductive, that we would quiet the noise and we would discover you and discover your word for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.